Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Oh, so that wasn't even you that was on the line before, Rod, that we were talking to about how My Sex was their first single they ever bought.
No.
I was thinking that's unusual for yeah. Anyway, so how are you, Rod? Let's ignore that last 5 minutes. Just have it in the studio and say hello. Wow, is everyone just wearing their budget pants? It's budget day.
I love budget days. Can I get really enthusiastic about budgets? Look, it's a bit geeky, but we do budgets really well in New Zealand in terms of great transparency, what the government's up to with our money. And so I really like budget day because it shows you the architecture of where they think the money's coming from and where they're going to spend it. And therefore you understand a little bit better about where their priorities are and what they believe the political trade-offs are. So I get locked up in the Great Hall of Parliament from 10:30 until 2 with all the budget documents and lots of other people. And then we'll get a presentation from the finance minister towards the end of that, probably about 12:30, I should think. And
Where do you go? What's your first go-to part of the budget? What chapter do you go to? You look up...
I actually just go straight to the economic forecast from Treasury. Yep. Then the second thing I go to is the finance minister's speech. What is really great fun to go to is all the footnotes at the back, because that's where all the bad news is buried, all the contingent liabilities. And others will go straight there because there's always some great stories. But I tend to just have that as the icing on the cake later.
Treat yourself later on.
Yes.
This government was formed under a cloud of Germany. We didn't think we were even going to get in, and they did get in. They formed the coalition, and Winston voted the way he voted. Do you think that they've had enough time to get their head around a budget of a country?
Yes, certainly. Grant Robertson himself, as finance minister, had a lot of experience inside the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet in the Helen Clark government.
Sure.
And there are other people around, like David Clark, Minister of Health, who was a Treasury official back then. And indeed, I understand that Clark's been quite involved as one of the lieutenants for Robertson in this budget because of that experience. So there is knowledge there, and it's not quite the same as having a few years' experience, but it's good. But one of the key things I'm looking for is the extent to which the new government has been able to turn this budget more towards their priorities, because the whole budget process is a very long one. In a number of ways, there is momentum carried over from previous governments and its decisions. So for me, the real test is to the extent to which that, not just in a superficial way, but important way, like more money for nurses, stuff like that, yeah. but in a more fundamental way, has started to shift the budget to better reflect their political priorities.
Will there be some of the promises they've made coming into the budget or prior to the budget, to sort of mostly election promises, I guess? There's got to be some sort of natural, drop off for a few of those that aren't able to sort of tie up and run, play out the way they want to. Do you think they're going to sort of cover most of their bases, or do you think that maybe they shot a little high when they were making their assurances to the nation?
They will meet some very fundamental commitments, such as the rate at which they will pay down government debt to get debt down to a low level. It's a slightly slower track than National was promising. Indeed, the pledges around budget surpluses and the like. So those main pieces will be there. And some of the detail, though, they have fudged on as to whether they can be introduced this term or later, but those are overall rather minor, because there will be scrutiny on the big promises. They have to keep those.
What happens if you sort of announce something in the budget and then you realise a couple of weeks after the budget, oh hang on, no, we've done that all wrong. Oh no.
I can't remember such an abrupt reversal, because a great deal of thought and planning does go into this. Should such a matter arise, I'm sure there's a way over time to just sort of slightly sort of slide out from underneath it. So I don't think it would be extremely rare. I can't remember it where very red-faced they'd have to get up soon afterwards and say, oh, sorry, absolutely got that completely wrong.
If you're a small business owner in New Zealand and you're already spewing about this minimum wage thing going up and, it's making it more difficult, what are the things that you're going to be looking for in the budget to hand up, some sort of tax break, some sort of...
One of our great economic problems is lack of productivity growth, or very weak productivity growth, because that's an ability to generate more economic activity with fewer resources. And I don't mean that in an efficiency sense. It's about being more productive. And that's a common problem for most economies across the world, but economics is in a real slump in that sense. The government does have plans like bringing back a tax credit for research and development expenditure. That's going to be coming later from the 2019 budget. And there's going to be other ways to try and get business to shift. Now, this is really hard on those companies that are struggling paying the minimum wage. And I know we've discussed this before, and it sounds terribly hard-hearted that if a company can't manage to pay those wages, other people will, and therefore more efficient, better companies will take on those people or those other resources. That's a really hard message, and
that's the reality of it, though, isn't it?
I feel sorry for the individuals involved, but that's the reality of trying to progress the economy. And so there are people out there struggling. They're struggling in a tightening labor market to be able to attract the people they want because there are better employers elsewhere. And a government can be as efficient as it can. And so the previous government started easier ways to make your tax payments and such things. You can do stuff like that. But it's really up to the businesses themselves that have got to improve. And that's the blunt message of it.
Speaking of businesses improving, just outside of the budget, I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet about, I know that you've been passionate about it too, the rotten old banks in Australia. Are we sure that our rotten old banks over here aren't joining the rotten old banks in Australia, doing what the rotten old banks in Australia would do?
It'll be a paler shade of what's gone on in Australia.
That's certainly not a no.
No, it's not. Because some of the same dynamics are in place. First of all, they're subsidiaries of the Australian banks, and there's Australians from head office sitting on the board of the New Zealand banks. Secondly, it's a very uncompetitive market. They play at competition around some of the edges. Some of that can be a bit intense. But overall, these are massively profitable businesses. They're very big businesses, which means that some things don't go right. I mean, the extraordinary story that's come out in the last week about ANZ and its interest rate calculator has affected 100,000 customers. Now, fortunately for the customers, it underestimated the interest that they were due to pay the bank. And it's not a lot of money. It's $10 million. And ANZ is going to, take that burden on itself rather than get it back from the customers. But the extraordinary thing is, it knew for a year that the interest rate calculator wasn't working properly before it told the Commerce Commission. And that was last year.
Why would they wait so long?
They said they wanted to fully understand what was going on. Well, if it took them a year to work that out, I'm sorry.
Is it because it's such a PR disaster?
Yeah. And now it's going to take them 4 months to notify 100,000 customers that, oh, look, we don't expect any money from you. We had this little glitch, but we're going to cover the cost. Well, how does it take 4 months to let 100,000 people know that? So, look, I'm afraid I'm obviously sounding slightly impatient with the banks. I don't think there's going to be I don't think it's quite as vicious and as bloodthirsty a business as it is in Australia, which has led to the sort of problems that are being investigated there. But we'll see a paler shade of some of the same behaviour here.
And I'd ask you about the A2 milk panic yesterday too. What's that all about? And the stock, and I barely talk about stocks, but I just haven't. I'm really interested in A2 milk.
Well.
Not as stocks so much, but
people got terribly carried away with A2, believing it was found some sort of holy grail about how to make vast sums of money out of milk. It's a very sophisticated business model, that's true. But it's completely open to competition from other people being able to breed up herds of cows that
produce that particular strain.
That's right. And so Nestle's jumped in and everybody else has jumped in. So that it never made any sense to me at all that the stock became our most valuable company in New Zealand. That just made zero sense to me at all. So I think a bit of reality is beginning to come back into that.
All right, Rod. Hey, thank you very much. Have a wonderful budget day. What do you wear on budget day? What's your outfit?
Oh, same as usual, kind of a subdued suit. I always have terrible choices of colors. You know, do I wear a blue shirt? Somebody misunderstand that? Would they misunderstand if I wore a green shirt? I'm not going to wear a black shirt, obviously, for all sorts of deeper connotations. Should I wear a slight pink shirt? I've got these shirts lined up here. I can't decide what message. Probably just something stripy, which would kind of cover all the bases, I think would be the best thing for me.
Well, look, I hope you work through that conundrum before the budget gets announced.
No, I'm not going to send you a picture. Don't worry. Sorry.
Hey, thank you, Rod. Lovely to talk to you again.
See you.
We'll speak to you again soon.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.